Today, we'll be discussing which game system I've chosen, why that system over others, and it probably will not be the system that you're thinking it will be. No, it will not be Dungeons and Dragons. So let's start by talking about the goings-on at Jesse's Dungeon. I've been printing out armies from one-page rules, getting ready to demo those. I printed out some mummified undead, ratmen, and blessed sisters, and I'm currently working on alien hives. I'm hoping to get some games in here very soon. They will be the first of the system that I'm going to run. Teach, demo, get people into it. I do enjoy it by concept, but I have to get it on the table to fully commit. However, I think it's an easy commit, really. When you can put all your rules on a single page, and then give each player an army that's on a single page, roll just a couple of dice, have everything understood quickly, and within 5 minutes be playing a game, that game has got something right. This weekend, I was at the Pop Market in Elmira Heights. It was great, an experience. I was there representing for Great Escape on the Lake. If you haven't heard about that, that's coming up here in the end of August. It's a board game camp, which is a mix of a board game convention and what you would expect for at a camp. We have all the activities, both of camping and the board game convention, LARP, and many more activities coming. At the Pop Market, I got to sit next to an artist named Eric. He runs Broken Arted Studios. From him, I got an original art of Vegeta. Very excellent. He did a great job, and I really do appreciate what he's done. Also at the Pop Market, I got to meet the creator of the Neon Lords of the Toxic Wasteland. The Saturday morning cartoons with a bowl of sugar, some heavy metal, and 80s action movie RPG. I'll have more on this a little bit later. So that's how my march is ending. It's going out like a lion. I've had some great experiences. I've gotten things rolling with the mini manufacturing. I've even gotten some paint to plastic and started slaying the Gray Army. If you want to check out my art that I got, or the painting that I've done this week, make sure you find me on Facebook and Instagram and every place else. So getting into the meat of the subject, why not choose the more popular system? Why not use Dungeons and Dragons? And it's simple, really. I have to meet somebody for the first time at the game table. They need to be able to get into the rule set and be able to play and enjoy themselves immediately upon entering the area. I don't have time to have a session zero, take 2 hours to create characters, explain how this world's going to work, that kind of thing. So a lighter rule set is a far better choice than the deeper rule set that is Dungeons and Dragons. So the game system that I've chosen is called Dungeon Crawl Classics. It's by Goodman Games, and it is more of an older school Renaissance game. However, the rules are a little bit lighter. They're easier to pick up, and I can just run a game and people can just use their imagination and throw some dice and have a good time. D&D, we would have to have multiple character sheets and all this complexity that would just ruin the event. Now, don't get me wrong. The Dungeon Crawl Classics from Goodman Games is actually a really great game, and it can go very deep. But starting out, the characters are simple to the point where anybody who's never roleplayed before can pick up a fighter class, understand what they're going to do, and be able to do this using the rules that they have written, which is great for a starter and or somebody who has never roleplayed before. The importance of a lighter rule set cannot be overstated. I have people coming to play who may have never played, or are very young, or are just curious, or they're there because they have a young one that wants to play, but they want to participate too. And that's my goal, is to get everybody so they can play. If I don't have to teach, we can just get immediately into the role playing with a 5-minute explanation. That is great. That is how you get somebody to go, okay, this isn't going to be so bad. And then they immediately start enjoying themselves. If you have to go through a 40-minute rules explanation, their eyes will gloss over. They won't want to be there any longer, and they won't enjoy any of the experience, no matter how good you're trying to be at running a game. So yes, a lighter rule system is far better when demoing a game or running with newer people who never roleplayed before, so that the rules get out of the way and the experience comes from the roleplaying, not for trying to find this rule and find that rule and go through this book and go through that book. That's just the distraction from the actual fun, which is the role-playing. But, Jesse, why not a more popular system like D&D? Everybody knows that name. Yes, everybody does know the name Dungeons & Dragons. And that's literally what I call most fantasy role-playing games, is Dungeons & Dragons. People really do not know the difference. And they don't really care, because to the average person, Dungeons & Dragons is fantasy role-playing. It's not a particular brand or a game, because they don't know anything about these games whatsoever coming into it. A more experienced person may like Dungeons & Dragons, but they'll enjoy Dungeon Crawl Classics just as much. And for them, I can tell them what game system it is. But for the average person, you don't want to say, oh, I'm playing Dungeon Crawl Classics, because they're going to look at you like, what? What are you talking about? Also, popularity does not denote better. If I'm running for people who have never roleplayed before, they do not care what system I'm using. They just care that they're going to be roleplaying. The more popular systems can get people there sometimes. So getting into it, the popularity is not going to matter, because most people are just going to hear Dungeons & Dragons and think, oh, that's fantasy role-playing. And get into it, start role-playing after the game. Then I explain what game system it actually is. And it doesn't matter, because when they go tell their friends, they're going to go say they were playing Dungeons & Dragons. Because if they say role-playing, people will be confused. They won't understand what you're talking about. So popularity is key for understanding the concept, but not key to actually running the games. So in my experience, the more complex a rule set is, the more time it is that you're actually spending with the rules rather than with the stories. You don't want to have to do that. I've had many a times where a role-playing session has come to a complete stop because we didn't know the exact rule for this creative thing that a player wanted to do. And because we were committed to the rule set so much, we stopped what we were doing, we searched through all the books looking for an answer, and by the time you get back to playing after that, the tension is gone. You're out of it. You can't experience it any longer. What you were doing is lost to the fact that we were just going through a bunch of rule books. And that is not good. That is just bad for a role-playing session. You do not want to have to do that. I've learned a few tricks over the years. I don't know how to fix this. You roll a dice. And if you get higher than your right, and then at the end of the session you solve it. But in a area like where I'm going to be running games, I can't do that. So I have to just make all the calls right immediately, and if the rule system is too complex or too deep and there's too many options, then I cannot do that, because it'd be impossible for all the different variations of rules that could come up with people who've never roleplayed before, because they're just like, wow, this is creative and I want to kind of do what I want to do, and they don't know that they can't do that within the rules, so they just want to be creative and have fun, and I don't want to stop them, because I think it's great and I think they should be able to do that. I also think it's better when there's a little bit more restriction on things in the rules. Like, you should know that if you're a fighter, you probably are not going to be casting spells or whatever the thing is that is restricted. Restrictions are good and encourage creativity within the limits of what you have, where if you can mix so much together and then go from there and have to know every possibility, and then you can possibly do everything, then that is not good for newer players or players in a public area. And I actually think it's not really great for role playing itself. It's in the restrictions that you have that you find that you can actually be creative and really role play a character. So I chose Dungeon Crawl Classics over Dungeons and Dragons for some of the reasons of simplicity. In Dungeon Crawl Classics, difficulty can be modified by the type of dice you roll. They use all 15 of the polyhedral dice, from D3 all the way to D30. So I don't have to say, well, this is +2 and that's -4 and all these other modifiers, which then add more complexity during the game. I can say, well, okay, so that's difficult, so why don't you roll a D16? Oh, that's a great, or, oh, that's a great idea, why don't you roll a D24? And then they get a possibility of a bonus or a negative, and they can understand, because they can see the dice in front of them, what dice is what, and just be able to pick it up and roll it, and then set against my DC. And that's far simpler for a player who's never roleplayed before. And that's the goal, is to get people who've never roleplayed before, or are young, or whatever, to enjoy the game and be able to understand it. And then the next time, when I say to do this or that, they've got it, because it's a physical item in front of them, rather than just the concept of, all right, well, now it's harder, it's less hard, and I'm only rolling the same dice all the time. They get to actually interact with the difficulty changes, which also encourages smart play and role play both. So they know that if they do something stupid, now they're going to get a dice that has less chance of succeeding. Or if they're creative, they can get a dice that has more of a chance of succeeding. And that encourages better role play. Getting started running a game for a public is quite the experience. When you show up, you need to be ready to go. Because when the people show up, they're going to want to get in there and get going immediately. You don't want to have a complex session zero. You don't want to have to sit there and build characters unless they're very simple characters. You want to get people in, get them a character, have a very brief explanation, maybe a 5-minute, hey, this is how you play, and then you want to start playing. People come, they spent money at a convention to have time with you to play a game. You don't want to be wasting their time with silliness. You need to be ready to go. I plan on having many characters already pre-made, so somebody can just grab a character and they can play it right there. It'll be all pre-rolled, ready to rock. If somebody really wants to make a character, it's very fast to create a character with the Dungeon Crawl Classics. It's why I've chosen this, so that we can get in there. They can spend maybe 10 minutes max rolling up a character, getting their items that they get, and then we can be off to the races and they can be enjoying the game rather than worrying about stuff that is not part of the game. That's outside the game stuff. You do not need to be making characters and stuff as part of the game. That's something you do outside the game so that when you get there, you're ready to play. Another advantage to Dungeon Crawl Classics is the classes are stereotypical. And I know that's not probably not the word you want to hear, but it's good that they are, actually. Because when somebody hears a fighter, they know a fighter. A fighter is going to hit something with a weapon. Or they hear a mage. Okay, well, that character is going to be casting spells. Or they hear a dwarf, so they know that they're a little bit shorter. They live underground. They probably have a beard if they're male. That kind of thing. And that's good. Because I don't have to go through deep explanations of my custom elf that has green skin and they have leaves for hair and they're from the Feywild and they do all this other random stuff that, again, is a huge explanation that you have to have before the game if you're going to have a fully customized world like that. So you want to stick with what people already know. So stereotypical things are great because people already have in their mind what these things are from the pop culture. They probably seen Lord of the Rings or any of the other fantasy TV shows and movies that have come out, or they read books that are fantasy. People know what the setting is, and if you don't try to buck the system too much, you can get right in. People have an understanding and you can go. You don't have to play the game of, well, let me give you a 20-minute explanation of why mine is different than yours so that you understand what we're doing. That is not fun for the people playing the game. It may be fun for you running the game because you've created this awesome world that is completely custom, but for the players, they literally have to just sit there and listen for 20 minutes of an explanation of something that may not affect them for any longer than the 2-hour session that you're in. Another benefit to the game system I've chosen is that it's simple classes. It's not, hey, I'm going to pick Dwarf. Okay, now I'm going to pick Paladin. And then I also want to pick Mage as my subclass. And now I have all these complex rules and my character is very unique. It's, hey, you're a fighter. So you're a human that's a fighter. Or, hey, I'm a dwarf. That is my class. Or I'm an elf, and that is my class. This is great with newer players, younger players, because the added complexity of adding different things together adds so many rules and so much to it that's what you're going to spend all your time doing is getting down that, oh, I'm a dwarf. Oh, and I'm a paladin, so I have to know this and that because I'm a paladin, but I also have to know this because I'm a dwarf. Where, so say you're a dwarf in Dungeon Crawl Classics, you have to only understand that you're a dwarf. You do dwarf things. That's also why the stereotypical part plays in so well, because if you're a dwarf and you do dwarf things, you don't have to add that to your character, so you get to actually start building your personality and stuff sooner without having to worry about all the complexity of mixing so much stuff together to try and make a character. And when you've had 10 minutes to make a character because you want to get into a game session, that simplicity of having one thing that you are makes it far easier to get into the actual role playing and not into, well, I can do this and that and this ability, or what's the interaction between being this race and this class and how does it affect me in the world and how did I end up here and that kind of thing. That's not what you're here to do. You're not here to write that super backstory at that time. You're here to start at a simple beginning and then move forward and have it become complex as you play. Not the complexity in the past, which will explain why you're so complex. So I've said that I am building a world, and that world is a forever campaign. And you may wonder why. Why would you want to build a forever campaign? Well, with today, with the internet and social media and all the ways to communicate with people a little bit ahead of time, if my campaign world is always the same world, but it's just advancing as the games are played, then it allows me to plug people in. People can have multiple characters. People can come to multiple sessions. They'll know the world because I can share that part of it. And then each session, they can just enjoy because I'll have a little bit of a pre-understanding. With the conventions, I can share ahead of time on their message boards or wherever they're communicating about what my world is about. And I can write down or even write a world guide eventually for the world. This allows people to come in with a little bit of a pre-knowledge of what's going on in the world. They can also join in not only at the convention, but if they're semi-local to me, they can join in at the stores where I may be running a game. They can request to join in regular games. And then every session they play at the convention, at stores, with me, their character can advance. They can also have multiple characters. And then they can meet other players that are also in the same world. And then all the players can interact with each other and then talk about their experiences that they've had within the world. That's why a forever campaign is the style that I've chosen to go with. It's for the player's benefit and mine. It's a little bit simpler on me, which then makes me able to run games easier. It's more fun for the players because now they have a character that will always be there for them if they come back. If you're at the convention and you play this year, you play 3, 4, or 5 sessions, you become level 2 or 3, and then you come back next year, you have your character. You don't have to start a new character because you already have one within the world. And that will be available to you to play. It's a different way of thinking about it. And though the world is kind of more of an open world system, it has an ongoing story within it that all the player groups interact with. So with that, that's the ultimate goal, is to have an ongoing open world campaign with a story that, regardless of when you've played, you get a little bit of an interaction with the story, the main storyline that's happening at the time in the area of the world that you're in. And then you can talk with other players, and together you'll all have an understanding by interacting with each other, which then builds a community behind the game. I think that that creates a far deeper relationship within the game system itself, is to have a world where there's an interactive story, but you can choose to interact with it or not. You can go out and do the things that you want to do with your character, so your character feels more alive because you're getting to choose what you want to do. The world continues to move even while you're off. You can be part of the solution. You could actually choose to be part of the problem. You can do the things within the world that you want to do, but the story is there and unfolding. And there's multiple parts of the world, so maybe off in the eastern part of the world there's something going on that barely affects the western part at the beginning. And then bigger things can happen. Worldwide events can happen, or regional events can happen, or just local events can happen. And then all this is shared amongst the players. They can tell each other about it. And then if it's, say, a festival or something that's happening at a town, the other players can hear about it. And next year at that same time, they can end up there with their player characters and see the same festival happening again. That is a far deeper world. And it allows an amount of creativity by the players as much as it does by me, because the players are actually helping tell half the story, at least, if not more, because they can just do what they want to do, and then I just can be reactive, knowing what's the big stuff unfolding around them. Then they can, and then they interact with or don't interact with the big story happening. And then I just have to be reactive to what they're doing and make sure that if they end up interacting with something, that it all makes sense when they are crossing talking with other player groups. It also allows me to have many more players, which then allows sessions to become more frequent, because you don't have to have everybody you started with on the first session be there for every game. They can come in and out as they can. And then if you get 50 to 100 players that are all part of your world, finding a group of 5 to 10 becomes far easier and then more frequent, and you can enjoy the game far more often, and so can the players. So that's the reason for the Forever campaign, which also, because I already have everything pre-built to a certain extent, I'm able to take that to a convention. I know the setting by heart because I'm writing it and experiencing it throughout the year as well, that I'm able to just go and start interacting with people I don't know and then just run a session very easily. And that's important, because now my confusion or whatever might happen if I wrote a brand new story isn't there like it would be with the normal storyline style of running a game. I can just jump in. I know where I'm going to have people at. And convention, it's a certain spot they're going to be. They're going to get there. They're going to have things that are going to encourage them to go a certain direction. Now, it's entirely possible they don't go in that direction, but because the world is so developed, what happens is, even if they don't go in the direction I expect them to go, I'm able to wing it into wherever they end up. I don't have to worry about it because I have so many sections of the world figured out. So that is why I'm using a Forever campaign, and you probably should too. But that's just my opinion. Digging into the why I'm doing this and why I've chosen the systems I've chosen and the ease of rules and all those things, it's very simple. It's for people. I need to have it so that people can come in who wouldn't normally experience a role-playing session or even consider trying it, and they can enjoy it. More people should try it. But with the barrier of entry of complexity and or confusion as to what it is, they're not trying it. Role-playing has many benefits, and some of these benefits are help with anxiety and depression, even using it to treat schizophrenia with certain groups. So it's definitely a helpful situation. Complexity should not be a barrier to entry for anybody. The only person who should be worrying about the complexity is the judge, the person running the game. They're the one who needs all the stuff. They need to get ideas from everywhere so that they can run for a multitude of people. But the players, they should be able to show up, be a little bit creative, throw some dice, laugh, and have a great time. They don't need any more complexity than that. So if you're running for the public, or you're demoing at a game store, your local friendly game store, use something simple. you don't have to get jump them right into using $3 to make a character and all this complexity. Just use a simple system for new players. If you want to have characters that are that complex, it should be with experienced players who all agree that they want to have that complex of a game. I've found that even more experienced players that I've been playing with are enjoying the simpler rules, because now it's about the creativity and less about the rules. If you want to play complex rules games, absolutely go play a grand strategy game. That's great for that. But with role playing, it's about the experience. It's about creativity and expressing yourself. And the rules should not be getting in the way of that. Okay, so on to a new note. Coming up in the near future, I'm going to review Neon Lords of the Toxic Wasteland. That game that is like 80s cartoons when you're eating a bowl of sugar mixed with a little bit of heavy metal and 80s action movies as an RPG. I read through it briefly today, and one of the classes that stood out to me was a robot that's kind of like a Terminator, but their skin is Ronald Reagan, and they're all that way. And it was just great. So I imagine that that's going to be a lot of fun to read through deeply and run a session or two of here in the near future. And then I will review it and let you guys know what I think after really digging through the book and seeing what it can do with it. But from a surface skim, it's epic. It's a little bit campy. If you're familiar with any of the pop culture stuff from the 80s and 90s, it's all referenced. The whole life there is referenced. It's great. Also in the near future, I'll be having an interview with Jared from Pop Market and asking him about his journey with that system and the events that he's set forth and how he sees it affecting his community. So stay tuned, subscribe so that you don't miss these things, and I hope to hear from you in the near future. Don't forget to check me out on pretty much any social media that you can think of. I've tried to be everywhere. We'll see if that works. Hey, thanks for hanging out with me, and have a great day, night, or whatever time of day you're listening. Bye.